talk about the topic of hope this morning, as you know, and the hope that we have in Christ. And the word hope, I'm thinking about the service, that's the word that God put in my heart and my spirit today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we all know that from weddings, it says their faith, hope, and charity or love, and the greatest of these is love. And but hope is tucked right there in the middle, faith, hope, and love. And love is wonderful, but God also wants us to be a people, not only that love one another, but have hope, that we have hope. So I want to talk about hope. The topic of hope addresses the possibilities of discouragement or the importance of anticipation. It addresses the whole concept of living and of how that we are able to be a positive, God-blessed, spirit-filled people who have hope. And if the enemy can discourage us and cause us to lose our hope through one means or another, then he is head in the battle. But we are a people of hope. Hallelujah. Not just a people of faith, but a people of hope. And I think that hope as an anticipated reality. Hebrews tells us that the substance of the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. So we know that hope, I think of it as an anticipated reality. That's the phrase that I want to come back to a couple of times this morning. Churches go through ups and downs in the spiritual growth of a church. People can, and circumstances can be both encouraging or discouraging. And where we hang our hats has a lot to do with the way we live our lives. And so we need to be a people who concentrate on not only on the Lord, but a people of hope that are able to be encouraged in the Lord and in one another. So the growth process that God puts us through is the anticipated, with a hope that is the anticipation of the reality of seeing Jesus. The reality of seeing Jesus. Now, I've been saved for a few years, and I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 6, and so I'm 75 now. So, you know, there's been some ups and downs over the years, but I do know this, that when I experience the presence of Jesus in my heart, in my home, in my prayer closet, in a service, when we worship the Lord, when you're driving in your vehicle and you have music going or whatever is happening, or you're sharing fellowship one with another, then we know that the anticipated reality of seeing Jesus face to face, that the experience that we live through from day to day in knowing the presence of Jesus Christ, illuminated by the Holy Spirit, is what I expect multiplied many times over when I get to heaven. Yes. Praise the Lord. Yes. Praise the Lord. I read the first Revelation 1 where it talks about John when he saw Jesus on the Isle of Patmos. And Pastor Andrew went through that whole wonderful series on Revelation. You know, but the one of the most powerful sections of that scripture was when John fell before the Lord. Hallelujah. And he saw Jesus. Hallelujah. Someday, we're going to see Jesus. Someday, we're going to see Jesus. But today, we feel Jesus. We experience Jesus. Hallelujah. And he is our hope. So don't lose hope. Praise God. Paul told Titus, he says, and teach us, and he taught them how to live for Jesus in verse 12. He says, we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. That's Titus 2 and 12. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. And then verse 13, he zeroes it in, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. Praise the Lord. That great day when the hope that we have will be revealed in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians, he says, may God give you grace and peace. We always thank God in verse 2, he says, for all of you and pray for you constantly. As we talk to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful work that occupying business that God has called us to. We think of your faithful work, your loving deeds, and your continual anticipation of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are we a people of hope? He says, Paul told the church of Thessalonica, he said that you are a continual, you're in continued anticipation of what? The return of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, when I was in Bible school back in the 70s, and I went in 70 and graduated in 73 from EPBC, then Dr. Adder, he was during his retirement years, but he had a sign on his wall, and you've probably heard preachers refer to this before, because you've had lots of EPBC graduates here over the years, and or I guess they call it master's graduates now, they've changed the name, but it's perhaps today. With a question mark. Yeah. I don't know if it's a question mark or an exclamation mark, one or the other. But perhaps today, white sheet of paper, about like this, great big black letters, bold black letters. Perhaps today. And that's what it was about. The ongoing, anticipated return of Jesus Christ. Of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a hope that we have. The presence of the Spirit of God in our life gives us hope for heaven. Hope is found in the Word of God and in the revealed presence of Jesus. When you spend time with Jesus, you become a person of hope. Somebody who gets discouraged, if you feel discouraged this morning, check your prayer closet. If you feel discouraged this morning, check your scripture readings. If you feel, or the absence of them, because you be a person of the Word. The Spirit of God encourages you. When you spend time in His presence in your prayer closet, the Holy Spirit encourages you. Hallelujah. And you become the person who is able to encourage others because you have been encouraged by the Lord. Hallelujah. I tell you, hallelujah. You know, you don't find encouragement in the Lord on the telephone. Sharing your problems. Now, that's not bad in itself, but try to end the conversation with prayer. Amen. Amen? Try to end the conversation with prayer. Bring Jesus into the dynamic. Bring Jesus into the dynamic, and maybe you'll be the one to initiate that with somebody who called you looking for encouragement. So don't just say, well, what a good person I am, I help to encourage them. Point them to Jesus. Point them to Jesus, because when you're not there, Jesus will be there. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. So be a person of hope. Hope is more than wishful expectation. Hope is an anticipated reality. It's more than a hopeful expectation. It is an anticipated reality. We can think of hope. We can think of it as a wishful expectation, something I want or wish for. But that's not hope. Hope is heavier than that. Hope is fuller than that. Hope has a stronger dynamic. It's more of a building block in your life than a wishful expectation, you know? It is an anticipated reality. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Living by faith involves an anticipated reality. The anticipated reality of seeing God reveal Himself in blessings and answers to prayer and direction and guidance and strength and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. But it is also that Paul focuses on the anticipated return of Jesus Christ when He comes in glory to welcome His church home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've never seen Jesus myself face to face. He's never revealed Himself to me face to face. But I have felt Him in my heart from the time I was a child, you know. Ups and downs, as you can anticipate. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was 12. You know, that was the first time I was ever drunk, you know. I walked from the altar. I never drank alcohol in my life, but, you know, that's God protected me from that. My grandfather was an alcoholic, but that's a whole other story. But I do know this, God protected me. But when I went from the altar that night, I couldn't walk straight, and I was happy. You know what I mean? Like, I was happy. And the joy of the Lord filled my heart, and it was more than me. You know, hope can be lost or stolen. When Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, he complimented them for their faith, their hope, and their love. He focused on those three things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, he says, "We give thanks, God, always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing," this is the King James Version, "your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God the Father." You know, it's an enduring hope. That's your enduring hope is the NLT. It says your work of faith, your labor of love, and your enduring hope that you have. The enduring hope. He says we remember that. We look at that. We give thanks to God for that. Now later when he wrote the church at Thessalonica, he mentions faith and love, but not hope. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other." But he never gets on to talking about hope. Fear, you've probably heard other preachers refer to this, but fear and false doctrine had crept into the church that caused some discouragement. And as we kind of isolate and look at those things, the fear that seemed to be there was a result that some of the people had died. Some of the people had died. And Jesus hadn't come back yet. They were people of hope looking for Jesus to come back. They were expecting Jesus during their lifetime. That's over 2,000 years ago, you know. It was an anticipated reality, and those people are with the Lord now, so that's become a reality. But, you know, say they anticipated the physical return just as they had seen him go into heaven, as says in Acts. The angels spoke to them. And so we see that the people had passed away. And they said, well, what's going to happen to them? What's going to happen to them? And there are people who come along, or the enemy come along and said, it's too late for them. They won't go to heaven because Jesus hasn't come back yet. And they've died. It's too late for them. So fear began to build in them. And Paul, Satan attacks, and fear was robbing the Christians of their hope. Maybe it's not a real thing. You know, that was some of the lies the enemy was taking. But we see in 1 Corinthians that, or 1 Thessalonians, that he really had focused on in chapter 4. He'd answered their questions even before they dealt with it or before they faced it. But he says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope." Verse 14, "But if we have believed that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep," who have already died. And so don't be afraid of that. Don't worry about that. Therefore, he says in verse 18, comfort one another with these words. So be encouraged. The Lord is in control. Hallelujah. Jesus is in control. If the Lord is in control, why should I worry about it? Philippians 4 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to the Lord." When fear comes, resist it and watch the enemy flee if that's the source. If it's just coming from your own natural worrying personality, because some people have a natural worrying personality, you know what I mean? They're not really happy unless they got something to worry about. Just keep laying it down, because the Bible tells us that Jesus is the one who is our burden bearer. He is our burden bearer. So you might have a list of burdens, but I'll tell you, rather than talking to your family and relatives and kids and parents about them, then take them and lay them down and give them to Jesus. Write them on a piece of paper, fold them up in your Bible and say, "Lord, I'm giving them to you." Amen? Amen? And when you recognize they're gone, take it out and burn it. I mean, you know what I mean? Or throw it in the garbage. But I do know this, that he is the one that we can trust with the details of our lives. He's the one that we can trust with the worries of our lives. He's the one that we can trust when family members have passed on, those you love and those you find leave a big hole in your life and in your structure of your life and in your family dynamic. Then you need to recognize again this morning that Jesus is the one who is our hope. Hallelujah. He is the one who is our hope, because standing with Jesus are those who are waiting, that we are waiting to see. We have an anticipated hope of seeing Jesus, and we have an anticipated hope of seeing those who are with Jesus. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. That's a reality. So we have an anticipated reality, and that's hope. We're people of hope, people of anticipation, and people of the Lord of joy. You know, Paul taught about Jesus' return to provide hope to the fearful. And the second thing that was happening there in Thessalonica is that there are those who taught that Jesus had already returned. They kind of spiritualized it, you know, and so that Jesus had already returned. There was no more reason to hope that Jesus would return to make any difference in their lives. The difference that had happened in their life wasn't any more than the spiritual reality of knowing Christ as their Savior and Lord. So they said it's wrong to expect any physical aspect to it. So, but we read in 2 Thessalonians, Paul says in chapter 2 and verse 1, "And now, brothers and sisters, let me tell you about the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ and how we will be gathered together to meet him. Please don't be easily shaken and troubled by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun." Don't be shaken. Don't be troubled. Don't worry about people who say the day of the Lord has already begun. He says, even if they claim to have had a vision or a revelation or a letter that I'm supposed to have written. Sounds like the first false information news. You know what I mean? Like they talk about false information on the internet, you know. Sounds like Paul was dealing with it back there in the first century. Except it was on paper. And so he says, even if they've had a vision, they say, oh, I had a dream, I had a vision, and an angel appeared to me, or something else, or I saw it on the wall, or I saw it in the clouds, or whatever. He says, don't worry about those things. Tells us right here in 2 Thessalonians. And in verse 2, he says, even if they claim to have had a vision or revelation or a letter supposedly from us, don't believe them. Don't be fooled by what they say. I've been around long enough to know this, that when the enemy comes in and tells you a lie, and if you give credence to it, if you believe it, you are becoming a victim. And the same fear or the same thing that established itself in your heart when you believed a lie will empower the enemy to tell you another one. And then he'll tell you another one. And then he'll tell you another one. Maybe at some point you walked through the church doors and nobody shook your hand and nobody spoke to you. And you walked out, the enemy said, nobody loves you. Nobody cares whether you live or die. Nobody understands you. I don't even think God understands you. I mean, you know, like, that's the type of thing the devil does. You know what I'm saying? Some of you nodding, you know that. I know that. And I know this much, that we have to look beyond all those things. We have to look beyond them. Because our faith does not stand in the wisdom of men, does not stand in the strength of even a social relationship. It stands in the blood of Jesus Christ. It stands in the truth of God's word. It stands in the established promise of Jesus Christ that he's coming back again. He said, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have an anticipated reality, a hope that is in seeing Jesus and spend eternity with him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So as you live this day, purpose in your heart to be a person of hope, a person who anticipates, a person who has confidence in, a person who is saying, God, and if you feel dragged down, say, God, fill me with your joy. Fill me with the presence of your Holy Spirit, because the Bible tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and goodness and gentleness and meekness. And it's not, oh, woe is me, I am undone. Can you say amen this morning? You know, it is the joy of the Lord is our strength. Old Testament and New Testament. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And so we establish our heart in the Lord. Jesus had already returned. A false prophecy had robbed the church of its hope in Christ. And as a Christian, we can have hope, looking forward to the day when Jesus is coming back. And we can say, I'm going to make heaven my home. Praise the Lord. You know, I've got a plan and I've got a promise. The plan is I'm just going to live for Jesus the rest of my time. Now, being 75, it probably isn't that much, but you know what I mean. I'll do the best I can with what I got left. So that's why I'm here, you know. And the promise is that God is reserving a place in heaven for me. Praise the Lord. The place will be home because Jesus will be there. The place will be home. Here's what I know about my heavenly home. Just a few things. It's a prepared place. In John 14, it says, I go to prepare a place for you. You know, built by God. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and foundation was God. That's what Abraham looked for in Hebrews, tells us. Heaven is a perfect home. 1 Corinthians, Paul says, eye has not seen nor ear heard. Now, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Your mind can't even imagine. Praise the Lord. It's an eternal home made by God himself. 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that this earthly tent, that's this body that we live in, is taken down. When we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. You know, I've only here been here a few times, but you know, over the years, but some history. I miss seeing Ford back there. You know what I mean? I miss seeing John up here. You know, and I was going to say Muriel, but I know it's Muriel, right? I hope I said that right. But you know what I mean? Like, there's others and many others that your faces that you know, and yet we know where they are. We know we have a hope. We have an anticipated reality. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that we're going to stand in the presence of Jesus and we're going to behold him who called us by name, who reached out and cleansed us with his precious blood, who gave us the reality of his presence in the work of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Who sometimes has touched our bodies with healing power. Other times he's protected us from failure. You know, other times he's just blessed us. We have three children. Pam is the oldest. Patty's the middle one. Paul is the baby. We were pastoring in Western Shore. And Gwen was pregnant. My wife down here with Pam was pregnant with Paul, our youngest child. And he pastors in Kitchener, Waterloo now, at night today. And she said, oh, I feel like I have to go to the hospital. Now, I'm not really too mechanically inclined. I've got good hands. I've got a good touch with a piece of sandpaper. You know what I mean? If you're, you know, I don't over-tighten bolts. You know what I mean? I don't twist them off. You know what I mean? So I've learned over the years. But in those days, I wasn't very talented. And I was driving an old Valiant. It was a GM. 250 motor, just a straight six, small six, a Chevelle. I wish I had that car today. Two-door, a 68 Chevelle, you know, but anyhow. It was our family car. So I'm driving. But the carburetor hadn't been working that well. I was never in a hurry, so it didn't matter. I just pushed my foot hard to the pedal, and all I could get was 30 miles an hour out of it. But, I mean, you're driving back roads. Somebody I was pastoring in Lunenburg County in Western Shore. It didn't matter. So, but Gwen was pregnant, and the hospital was 18 miles away. I got to go to the hospital. We piled in the car, went out to the highway, swung onto the highway, the 103, and we're barreling down the road with a foot hard to the pedal, hard to the floor, going 30 miles an hour. That was during that interlude when our speed limit was, I think it was 70 miles an hour back for a while there in Nova Scotia. And Gwen went into had labor pain. She said, oh God, not here in the car, help. I still remember her crying and crawling out like that, you know. Well, you know something? I never moved my foot. I never did anything. All of a sudden, the car just picked up speed, and I'm going 70 miles an hour down the road. Seriously, 70 miles an hour. I'm going down the road. I never slowed till I hit the outskirts of Bridgewater where I had to slow down and squealed around a corner or two, but I've made it to the hospital with the kids in the backseat, with Pam Paul, and Patty in the backseat and Paul on his way. Dropped her at the hospital, came out back out to the car to take the children over to my parents' home with Pam and Patty. Car had the problem again. Yeah, still had the same problem. Paul was born, thank the Lord. Everything was fine, Gwen was fine. And I went to the mechanic, I said, I better get this fixed, you know? You know what was wrong? It was a needle valve. If you understand two-barrel carburetors, I think it was a two-barrel. And it had a needle valve in it that was gravity-fed that held it down, and it had come unhooked on the top. So when you stepped on the gas, it's supposed to like a rocket up and pull it up. Well, I figure an angel of the Lord just reached down, or the Lord spoke or something, I don't know. And he lifted up that needle valve and held that open all the way to Bridgewater. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we rejoice because the things that we experience from day to day and week to now, you know, give us the witness that we have an anticipated reality of seeing Jesus face to face, and that his blessings are real that we experience, and his promises are true as well. Praise the Lord. Now, I have to say, I've prayed other times for cars like that, and it's never helped a bit. You know, I know it was Gwen that made the difference, but you don't know. He knew the situation and he made the difference. Heaven is an eternal home made by God himself. It's a home of wonderful beauty. Revelation, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. Heaven is a happy home. Revelation 21, it says that the Lord is going to wipe away all tears. There will be no death or sorrow or crying or pain. And all these things are gone forever. And we get to heaven. Hallelujah. It's a desired home. It's our inheritance. Peter says in 1 Peter 1 and 4, we have a priceless inheritance. An inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father except by me. You know, heaven is an anticipated home because of who is going to be there. Jesus will be there. Friends and family will be there. You know, people who have died in faith are the ones who will be there. Children who have died early. I would speak of my family, Gwen and I lost a baby between Pam and Patty. We lost a child through miscarriage. And we don't know whether it was a boy or a girl, but when we get to heaven, because I do believe that life begins at conception. And so we find that we're going to meet not an unexpected child, but we're a child we have never met. We are going to meet them in heaven. I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to that. And I'm sure you have that hope as well, that anticipated reality that will one day that you will be blessed by. Most of all, we want to see Jesus. Something like what Stephen, he says when he was being executed in Acts chapter 7 and verse 55. He says, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God. The rocks were flying. Stephen was being pulmonized to death. And he saw the heavens open. He saw the throne of God. And he said, I see Jesus standing at the place of honor at God's right hand. He said, Lord, he told them, even the people that were stoning him, Lord, I see the heavens open, the Son of Man standing in the place of honor beside God. The anticipated reality of his hope was the revealed face of Jesus, whom he had known. Heaven is home because Jesus is there. God's plan for you is to have a heart filled with hope for today and for eternity. And we obtain hope because we have an eternal relationship where we have a hope is of a relationship with an eternal Savior, Jesus Christ. And the gift of life is an eternal gift because we have become partakers of his divine nature. Hallelujah, when we are born again by the Spirit of God into the family of God. I can hardly conceive what it would be like when this hope, this anticipated reality takes place, takes shape before me. Jesus, praise his holy name. But it's time to lift up our heads. It's time, lift up your head today, lift up your heart and see Jesus. Time to worship the Lord, as Nadine was leading us this morning. Time to worship the Lord and wait in his presence. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and mount up with wings as eagles and run and not be weary and walk and not faint. How does that happen? It happens when you wait in the presence of Jesus. Hallelujah. You're strengthened. You're encouraged. You mount up with wings as eagles and run and not be weary and walk and not faint. And don't give up. Don't give up. You know, don't become weary in well-doing, Paul told the church in Ephesus. For in due season, at the right time, at the right place, you reap if you faint not. Fainting is a choice we have, but we can faint not, praise the Lord. We can faint not because his strength is made perfect in our weakness. His strength is made complete in our weakness, made perfect or completed in our weakness. So you say, when I am weak, then am I strong. Praise the Lord. Praise God. When I am weak, then am I strong. And put your eyes on Jesus. Take them off of the thing that is sapping your strength and put them on Jesus and recognize that when you do that, there is hope that is ignited, not just birth, but ignited and reignited and refired so that you are a person of grace, of faith, of life. And then you have the joy of fellowship. Not going to get into that too far this morning except to comment on it. What a wonder it is and what a marvelous truth it tells us in 1 John that as we walk in the light, as Jesus is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. But there's not a period there. It's like we have fellowship one with another and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Praise the Lord. So you get sin washed, blood washed, praise God. And the sin that somehow has found a lodging place in on your garments or in your heart or in your head or something, just hanging out with other Christians and worshiping the Lord together, that God by his Holy Spirit works in you. There are those of you this morning when you walk out this door and make your trek home, that God, the Holy Spirit, is going to be with you and you're going to feel freedom. You're going to experience the freedom from the things that have been a plague to you because Jesus is here this morning to minister to you, and he is, and you will be a person of hope as you trust in him, rely on him, and let him do his perfect work in your spirit, in your heart, and trust him with your family, and trust him with the emergencies of tomorrow. Hallelujah. Trust him today, and he will prepare your heart for what happens tomorrow. Praise God. You can live by faith and walk in the Spirit and live by faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So lift up your head, see Jesus, open your heart, ask Jesus into your life. If Jesus has been a person who's you've kept pushed away, open your heart, make up your mind, and say today, the Holy Spirit is telling you that today is the day of salvation, and you can find that place of surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time to see the truth and believe that Jesus can set you free, that he is able to break the chains that bind, that he has a future for you that is not a future of disgrace and destruction and discouragement, but he has a future for you that has an anticipated reality of walking with God and knowing Jesus every day of the rest of your life. Hallelujah. And then when he takes you home, that anticipated reality that you have walked in hope with will take fruit and take shape, and you will look at the face of Jesus and you will bow in his holy presence and say, oh God, I am unworthy. I don't deserve to be here. I don't know why I'm here, but all I can say is I thank you, Jesus, because you called me. You chose me. You chose me who was unworthy. And oh God, you know my heart, but you love me anyway, because the word tells us God so loved the world. including you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Because he came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The Bible says an evil man hates the light and doesn't come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But we know that, but a good man comes to the light, sees the hand of God at work, is drawn to Jesus, is drawn to God, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are actually wrought in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's John chapter 3. What a bundle of truth that we have in John chapter 3. I'm loved, I'm special, I'm chosen by God. And all we can say is that God is a wonderful Savior. He's a wonderful Lord. You know, when I pastored in Western Shore, in Boom Road, last full-time pastor, I was in Boom Road for 21 years. And I would go to the detox center at the hospital on Horizon Network. And once every 6 weeks or so, I was on a rotation. And a spirituality session is what it was called. But I didn't make any apologies. I said, I'm a pastor and I'm a minister, and I'm going to talk to you about what I know to be true. And I talked to them about the Bible, I talked to them about Jesus. But I always started out by telling them my family story. And my family story was that my grandfather Williams was an alcoholic and a fisherman on the South Shore of Nova Scotia. And my dad grew up in that environment. But you know something? My grandfather was in his 30s. He was at sea on a longliner, sword fishing, and God, the Holy Spirit, spoke to him and came to a place of salvation. And Jesus set him free from the bondage of alcohol. I never knew my grandfather was even an alcoholic at all. I mean, I wasn't even born then, you know what I mean? I wasn't born until 1950. This happened sometime in the late 30s. I said, Dad, was Granddad really an alcoholic? And she said, well, I would say he was, he said. He said, Mom, my grandmother had to go down to the boat to meet the boat when the captain and the people settled up. They got their wages. He said, or the money never made it home. And there wasn't enough food for the family. The bills never got paid. Yeah, he was an alcoholic. But Jesus set him free. Hallelujah. 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 And you know something? His decision rewrote the history, rewrote my history. It rewrote the history of my children. And I'm praying it rewrites the history of all of my grandchildren and great-grandchildren. But where did it start? Because on detox, I tell people that. And they say, it's too late for me, too late for us. I said, you know something? No, it's not. Because Jesus broke the cycle in my grandfather's life. And every future generation has been blessed because of it. Aren't you glad that Jesus is in the life-changing business? Aren't you glad that Jesus is in the sin-washing business? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that he's in the hope-giving business? Praise the Lord. My grandfather lived for another 50-some years, died and went to heaven. He's been there. That was back in the, I'm trying to think of when he passed away, but I think it was somewhere in the 80s. I think, but anyway, I have the memory, but I don't have the time. Can't think of it, I mean, you know. I'm loved, I'm special. Jesus set my ground. He is living the reality in the presence of Jesus that you and I anticipate when we bow and worship him in faith and love. Are you a person of hope today? Hallelujah. Are you a person of hope? Are you a person who looks forward with anticipated reality, for the anticipated reality of seeing Jesus and experiencing his head? We're going to ask the musicians to come at this time. And, you know, at home with Jesus today and for all of eternity, Jesus provides hope for the hopeless, provides comfort for the grieving, encouragement for the discouraged, deliverance for the addicted, and forgiveness for the slaves of sin. The Bible tells us that Jesus' blood cleanses from all sin. We're made new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we have some things that are happening here in this church, and Pam is going to come. But before I sit down, I'm going to mention as well, this altar is open. The musicians are going to lead in a song, and they're going to sing and lead in worship in a minute. And the service will be dismissed, and you're free to go. Or if God, by the Holy Spirit, is speaking to your heart, and you said, I got some things I need to sort out with Jesus, then I want to invite you to come to this altar. I want you to come and hear, and as the music is playing and maybe the congregation that are left are singing, just come and kneel. Kneel at this front or kneel at this front pew or one of these pews and talk to Jesus. Because he is calling you. Because he knows your name. And he knows your past. And don't let the devil fool you. He also knows your future. And you can turn your past, you can surrender your past to Jesus. You can put your hand in his hand and say, Lord, from this day forward, I am asking you to be my Savior, my Lord, my God, my King, my healer, my provider. And he will do that. He will be a Lord of Lords in your heart and in your life. And he wants that to happen today. Because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Not down the road, not tomorrow, not next week, not after I get things cleaned up and straightened out. Now, because Jesus wants to walk with you now. Praise God. God bless you. Pam is going to come and something God has laid on her heart.
Is Jake here? Ocean, you want to come on up and stand in for Jake? I like hearing my dad preach. Thank you, Dad. Here, your hand?
Yeah, I'm going to need some.
Because I know that when he talks about hope, it's from a life that he's experienced that in his life and with all the people he's been able to minister to. And as Jake was reading scripture and praying at the beginning of the service about God carrying us through the storms of our life, I just really felt like so Pastor Ocean and Jake are going through a medical situation, and Jake is going for treatments for 100 days in Halifax this afternoon. And we had an opportunity to pray with them on Thursday night. There was a bunch of people here, but not everyone was able to come. So I wanted, actually, Dad, are you going to be, Ocean, you can stand in for Jake, that's okay. That's fine. Dad, I'm going to get you to pray for, but I'm also going to have the board members come. Mark, I don't even remember who's on the board right now. So whoever you are, come on down. Maybe they're away. Whoever's a prayer warrior, come join us. Yeah. But also, I want to not discount in a moment. We're going to do this right now, but then we're just going to move into a ministry time here at the altar, okay? Pastor Fred or Pastor Williams will be praying for us as well after. So thank you, Lord. Yep. So why don't you stand and join us? Extend a hand. We're going to pray in agreement for just the incredible provision and revelation of the Lord through all of this.
Hallelujah. Father, there's no circumstance in Jake or Ocean's lives that you're unaware of. And Lord, we thank you for the circumstances that have brought them to this place. We thank you, Father, for the work that you've done in their hearts and their spirit and their family. Thank you, Father, for the hopes that you have put within their heart and the courage that you give them and the faith that they walk in. Lord Jesus, we pray and ask that you will heal Jake today. And Father, we lay hands in this church, lays hands on Ocean, even in absentia for Jake. And we believe you together. Your word says that by your stripes we are healed. And we ask, as it says in Acts chapter 4, that you would stretch forth your mighty hand in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
and that you would heal. Restore that blood disorder. Put it in order. Hallelujah. We claim that in Jesus' name. We stand with them because we know they have claimed that already. And even, Father, as he faces the treatment, we ask in Jesus' name that your hand would be revealed, that it would be understood, that it was a miracle of what you have done. But we place him in your care and your hands in faith. And in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Let's praise God together. Praise him. Hallelujah.
This altar is open.
Altar is open. If God is calling you forward, just come forward and find a place of prayer.